Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
You guys can say amen to that.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of freedom. A faith in Christ always brings you freedom. That's the opposite of what the world wants to tell you, though, isn't it? Oh, if you go to church, if you become a Christian, there's so many rules, and you won't be able to do this and that. But the reality is when Jesus comes into our life, we are granted freedom. Freedom over death. Freedom over bondage, freedom over sin. As we were worshiping today, I don't want to go into this very deeply or anything, but as we were worshiping today, that God was just, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and showing me things. And he was showing me that the culture of the world right now pushes this casual relationship, right? Young people today, they enter into relationships with this casual attitude and this casual mindset that, you know, it's not really a commitment. We're just kind of together right now. It probably won't last. There's people entering into marriage with this casual attitude toward even marriage. And the Holy Spirit was showing me that seeps into the church. It seeps into our faith. And too many of us are casual Christians. Our relationship with Christ himself, we treat it in a casual manner. And Jesus is asking that you will enter into a serious relationship with him. Don't you see it? We see it in our churches. We see it in Christians all the time. They treat it with such a casual attitude. And that's not what Jesus is calling us to. He's calling us to that serious, focused, strong relationship with him. Father God, Lord, thank you for your plan, for your will, for your wisdom, for your way, Lord God, for the way that you desire us so much. Lord, you're a jealous God. You're jealous because we chase things that you know that we shouldn't, things that are unhealthy for us, and you're always wooing us back. But Lord God, you have set standards out there. Yes, we are under grace by the blood of Jesus Christ, that wonderful gift. Help us to never treat that in a wrong way and understand that grace calls us to salvation. And within that salvation, we are set free. But we are set free to a life of relationship with you, not a casual Sunday morning, once a week type of relationship. Not at all. It's an everyday serious relationship with you. So Lord God, help us to treat it that way. Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us that we have treated it with such disrespect. Forgive us that we've treated it with such apathy and laziness and complacency. Lord, you're calling your church to be solid and strong. So Lord God, we are your church. It starts with us. So even this morning, Lord God, help us to lay down that apathetic, lazy attitude and lifestyle. And Lord God, in its place, help us just to seek you and to seek you alone. Because where the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. And within that freedom comes a serious relationship with you. Lord God, help us to be the people you have called us to be. You never change, Lord God. The problem is not in you in any way, shape, or form. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you're perfect in every way. The issues lie within us, within me. So Lord God, we repent of those things. We lay them down to you. Lord God, help us when our faith is weak. Help us when our weakness is not strong. And Lord God, that we may focus, that we may worship, that we may spend time, that we may passionately speak and testify of the greatness of who you are, Jesus. And Lord God, we lift up those that are sick that are among us. Lord God, those that have just a little cold all the way to things that are more serious. Lord God, we lift up little Autumn as she's in Missoula now. Lord God, touch that little life. Lord God, heal her lungs. Heal that sickness right out of her, Lord God. And those that are battling cancers and heart disease and those type of things, Lord God, we ask for your healing touch. We ask for your healing trust, and we ask for your healing patience. Lord God, bring peace upon those lives in this troubled time. Lord, most of all, we glorify you today, Jesus. We lift you up. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And everyone shout it out. Yeah. Amen. You guys may be seated. Bonnie's going to share a prayer request prayer request real quick.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm here on behalf of a friend of mine and a co-worker that I have. And I'm still working. Her name is Renee. She's 46 years old. And this past week, her husband had surgery in Great Falls. And she brought him home on Thursday, and Friday morning she fell outside on the ice. They had to life flight her to Missoula, and she had so much pressure in her brain that she had a stroke. And so she may have to even have like speech therapy or something like that. I haven't talked to anyone on her today, so I don't know what's going on, but. So I wanted to come in front of my church because you're such prayer warriors. So I'm going to pray, and mm-hmm. if you guys will just agree with me that Jesus will heal her and her husband as well. He's not able to even go and see her because he just had surgery. So, and they have young children still. They're in a mess. So I would like to say a prayer if you'd agree with me. Heavenly Father, I just bring Renee to you now, Lord, in that hospital room in Missoula. Lord God, put your hands on her brain and on her body, and Lord, just start doing a miracle and healing her, that she will recover from this, Lord. Give the doctors wisdom on how to help her, and I ask that you heal her husband also from his surgery. I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a miracle here, and I just thank you for my prayer warriors here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't it nice to be able to say, hey, I got a friend. They don't necessarily go to this church, but I'm going to ask my church to pray. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. The world doesn't have this. How do they make it? I was just talking to somebody. It's like, man, how do you do life without a faith and a trust in Jesus while being surrounded by his body? It's crazy. I would never want that. Kids, I'm going to dismiss you right now. You guys can... How's that? I like that one. Do it again. Kids!
Go!
Go! Get on out of here, kids. Adults, stay! Stay in here. All right, we got some announcements. I'm going to run through these relatively quickly. Next Friday, we have the night of worship, prayer, and healing. It's at 7 p.m. Please just come on in. If you've not been here for this before, try to make it. Bring people. If you got Christian friends, if you got non-Christian friends, what a great time to just come in here. We're going to pray alone, we're going to pray together, we're going to just do all that great stuff. It's just a great time to come together and do that. That is Friday night at 7, and then don't forget that next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month, so it is last Sunday's potluck. Bring something to share. Just have a great time down there. It's just a great time of fellowship and an abundance, overabundance of food. It's a It's a great time. So please put that on your calendar. Plan to stay for that. Let's see. Becoming a member, Church 101, if you guys want to be a part of that, if you just want to find out what we're all about, what we believe. If you're thinking about becoming a member, you have to have this class. Regardless, it's always nice to know what your church believes. There is a sign up in the foyer. I'm going to let you guys sign up today, and then we'll just figure out the best time to do that. I will bring packets next week, I think. For anybody signed up, I want them to grab a packet beforehand and kind of go through. It'll tell you a whole lot, and then when we meet together, we can do kind of run over things, answer questions as to what we believe, who we are, what our mission is, what the church is all about. So if you're interested in that, please sign up just so I know how many to print, and then we can get a hold of you when we decide when we will meet and do that. Let's see. Oh, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday's coming up. Can you believe it's already close to being here? When you look outside and there's all this snow, it just messes with your mind. But Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday are quickly approaching. April 7th is Good Friday. The 9th is Resurrection Sunday. There's invitations out there. They weren't all gone last week like I wanted them to be. So please make them all gone today. Amen. Invite people. Just please invite people. You just never know who might want to come, who's looking for a place to come on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Good stuff. There is a women's retreat coming up. It is a district women's retreat. There is information on the table out there under that TV out there. You guys sign up on your own. You guys figure out lodging on your own, but I'm sure you guys will all go up together and hang out together. So please look at that. If you have questions on that, holler at Sandy. You're a good person to holler at. That's a good one. So ladies, I think it's in May, right? May 19th through 21st. If you've never been up to Glacier Bible Camp, it's a pretty great place. Let's see. Also, West of 50s is having a thing today. Today, they're headed out. But if you want to go, you're going to Butte, right?
Yeah.
Butte to dinner. There's a sign up on the table back there. You need to be signed up in name so everything gets coordinated right. So that is today as well. And then we are looking for some musicians to kind of get up here. Specifically, there's a slide about that, but my sound person and my computer lady are chatting it up. Throw that musicians one up. It's not a great slide, but it's a pretty cool slide, right? We're looking for musicians, specifically guitar players, bass players. We would love another drummer. So then when certain people are out of town doing things, we would have that. If you are a musician and you just haven't played for a while, maybe it's time to dust that guitar off or those drumsticks off and say, you know what, I'm going to jump in to help. It's always nice. It's a good visual to have this stage filled with musicians and things, and it just brings a lot. Also, if you know musicians, guitar players, bass players, drummers, maybe they don't even go to church. Who knows? Maybe they've been out of church. Maybe they're just frustrated because they don't know where they fit in and those type of things. If they're a musician, get in a conversation with them and invite and say, hey, you know what? Our church is kind of looking for some musicians. If you know that you are that person I'm talking about, or if you know somebody that might, just holler at me or holler at Jim. And we would love to get them and plug them in. They don't have to be professional musicians either, right? We want them to know how to play, or we'll take the strings off the guitar and they'll just stand up here with a guitar and no string. That works too, but we want people who have a little bit of a background in this, and I know some of you probably maybe have a little bit of a background and you just haven't done it in a while, but pray about that. And see what God tells you about that. And then lastly, if you're a greeter or are going to be a greeter. We have a couple couples that have expressed interest in being a greeter. We're going to have a greeters training meeting right after church today. That'll be in the basement. I think that's all the announcements, isn't it, for me? The what? Almost. Cindy's going to fill us in on some of what's, there's a ton going on with legislation right now, and it's so hard to keep track of what's going on. And Cindy keeps track, so I am going to actually interpret while she speaks. But remember, I came out of Native American mission, so I'm going to do that style instead of the ASL.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
You ready?
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'm not even going to try.
Well, she's standing right in front of me, so she can read my lips. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock is our Senate Bill 99. It's the Family or the Kid Protection Act. This will prohibit minors from surgeries, puberty blockers, all of those things.
Oh, yeah.
The last time that we met in front of the committee, there were 200 people. This is great opposition in our town. Parents saying that if I do not get the surgery, my kid will commit suicide. 40% of them already do. This is heavy opposition. I'm going in front of the committee. It's room 137 at the Capitol. If you have testified, signed up on the sheet out there, you cannot speak in the committee. And so I'll probably have to delete my name because I'm on there. But you can stand outside, you can pray, and then for those of you who are not doing anything after the service with the different things that are going on, we are going out to the Capitol this afternoon and walk around the Capitol to pray. We have only been given an hour tomorrow morning because the last one of these hearings was 5 hours. And they get real tired. Every gay rights person comes out. And we have legislators that are gay right-minded also. So if you want minors to be prohibited from these changes, we need the support of prayer. And if you haven't signed up on the sheet out there, I did bring it, but I have to turn it in tomorrow. So I guess that's it. I'll keep you updated on the other ones, because now that the legislature's back, they're going to be coming in big time. We need prayer. That's the biggest thing. 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, I will be in front of the committee. If you have signed the sheet, you cannot testify, but I could use your prayers. We need to storm the heavens.
A lot of people will say, hey, we got to keep politics and our faith separated. The problem is when politics crowds our faith. And we need to stand up, and really we're standing up for the children, right? Come on, do we really need this? No, we shouldn't have to. In a normal, sane society, we would never have to have this. But we don't necessarily live in a normal, sane society right now. So again, it's a casual relationship with your faith or serious relationship with your faith. We are called to stand up and testify and right wrongs and stand up for the innocent, even when those innocents are rather confused. We still need to stand up and pray and speak. So pray today when the Holy Spirit prompts you, just stop what you're doing and pray. Tomorrow morning, if you're not there and the Holy Spirit prompts you, pray. Make it a point to keep this in prayer. It's so vitally, vitally, vitally important.
Can we pray right now?
We can pray right now. Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we trust in you and in you alone completely, Lord God. We know that man's rule and man's idea of government and culture and society and all that's all below you. That falters and fails if it's not based in you. So, Lord God, we proclaim what the Word says. We proclaim what the Word says pertaining to biology and sexuality and those things. So, Lord God, we stand firm on that. We full well understand, Lord, that when we take this stand, Lord God, the world doesn't like it. And the world will want to come against our church And people will want to say, that's a closed-minded church. But Lord God, in man's eyes, I'm okay with being closed-minded as long as I'm open-minded and open-eyed to you and your word. So Lord God, we proclaim truth. We ask right now that you grant wisdom to those that are involved, Lord God. You begin to speak the words. You convict people. Lord God, open mouths that need to be open and close mouths that need to be closed. Lord God, those in opposition to these type of moral standards, Lord God, let them be confused. Let them be silenced and all that. Lord God, help us to protect our children as well as our unborn children. Lord God, we give this to you, but we stand in faith through our words, praying and asking and trusting in you, Lord Jesus. All in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, real quickly, we got four ways to give. Four ways to give. Who's on slides today? I don't know. You can give online at Bridge Helena. You can text it. You can use the giving boxes. You can mail it to 725 Granite. Always you can get to it through our app. We are right now, we're in the process of launching a new website. It's going to be really visually cool and all that. But if you're a member here, if you go here on a regular basis, the app is always a great way. But it's always the old-fashioned, write a check, put it in an envelope, and put it in the box. We still love that, right? There's something about going through that. But, you know, whatever way God desires you to give, that's the right way for you. So listen to the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. If the Holy Spirit tells you not to give, well, then don't give. I'm confident in that because I know the Holy Spirit wants everything from you. Remember, casual versus serious relationship. All right, let's get rolling today. We've had a lot of announcements and this and that, but I am ready for this message. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you that we can be in your house this morning, Lord God, with excitement and with anticipation, Lord God. That's what we long for. So Holy Spirit, have your rule and reign as we glorify Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we celebrate having a serious relationship with him, Lord God. Let us come together. Let us listen. Let us see. Let us open up our brains. Let us open up our hearts to receive. Holy Spirit, allow me to say everything that you want me to say and nothing that you don't want me to say. And like always, Lord God, don't let anybody leave here today the same way that they came in to this building. We pray this in your mighty name. And everyone shout it out. Amen. I want to give a really quick preview of next week's message because I think it's important. If you want to throw that slide up next week, the title of next week's message is The Days of the Fearmonger. And we're going to be talking about fear. And it's just such a rampant, man, it is so contagious. Fear is all over the place. You guys know that, don't you? As Christians, we have ways to deal with that fear, both in our life and in a public setting. But if you have people, if you know people that struggle, if it's like, man, that person is crippled by fear, that person struggles with fear, please invite them to next week's service, and then you can, we got last Sundays as well, so we can have a great service talking about fear, and then we can all go down together and have a meal together. But that's what next week will be, so mark that, try to be here for that, invite for that. Brings us to today's message, though. Today's message is a good one, just one. And I was having a conversation with somebody, and we were talking about different things, and out of my mouth comes solid or squishy. Are these people in their faith, are these churches, are they solid or are they squishy? So today we're going to look at a personal faith and our beliefs and how they influence our Christian identity. So please keep an open mind. And really today, I say this often probably, but I'm going to say it again today. Please keep an open mind and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask yourself some hard questions. It's so easy to coast through church and never look deeply. lot of times God's saying, hey, you need to ask yourself these questions. And they're hard questions. Don't be afraid of that. We should be running to that. See, the intent here is to draw us closer to Jesus, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to act upon the direction that God is prompting us to go. I truly believe that God is always prompting us to go a certain direction. It's really just that easy, yet it's also just that hard. I can confidently say this because I know, I trust, I believe that God will not lead us to destruction. He will not lead us to apathy. He will not lead us to condemnation, but rather, because he possesses all wisdom, we can trust that though it may sometimes be hard, it can sometimes be a little scary, it can sometimes seem a bit crazy, God has a plan and a deep desire for each one of us. How many believe that God has a plan and a deep desire for you? He does, I'm telling you, he does. It's a plan and a desire to bring health and wholeness into our lives. And we need a whole lot of that health and a whole lot of that wholeness. It moves us from a squishy existence to a solid foundation. So solid, in fact, that we can stake our eternity on it. In your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we're going to look at 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It says this, but have nothing to do with irreverent folklore and silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. It's a great passage, isn't it? Now, many of you know, if you've been here for a while, many of you know that I have not always been in the ministry. I didn't grow up in the church necessarily. I didn't go right into Bible college and come out a pastor right out of Bible college. I had my own little thing going, and I thought I was doing pretty good. See, before going into full-time ministry, I was in the fitness industry, and I was helping people attain their fitness and their nutritional goals. And honestly, I worked with all kinds of people. I worked with people from those recovering from heart attacks and from strokes all the way to professional athletes. I mean, that's a wide range right there, right? That's a huge range. Very different goals, very different needs. And even though their individual starting points were different, in essence, their goals were quite similar. It was to increase their physical capacity beyond their current state in order to perform the tasks that were laid out before them. Now, there were all kinds of different options to use to attain those goals. Options like nutritional plans or cardiovascular training or strength training or a flexibility program and so on and so forth. And it's really no secret that the best way to take someone from squishy to solid involves a plan that incorporates all of these different options, right? You don't just do one. You coordinate a plan that incorporates them all. That's the best. That's the fastest and the greatest way to get to those goals. And we would see some great results when people were diligent and people were willing to put in the effort. But looking back on those days, I realize now that when I trained them, inherently, they were needing much more than just the physical side of things to do. Discussions about emotional struggles would involve and evolve into a spiritual conversation. And this is why verse 8 makes so much sense to me personally. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come valuable in everything and in every way. See, godliness, or pursuing a solid and strong faith, putting effort into training yourself spiritually, always carries the greatest value because it has an immediate effect on the here and now, and it has an eternal value for the life to come as a born-again believer. We say we know this, but knowing is not enough because we have to apply it. I mean, Paul is saying, man, you got to understand it, but you got to engage in it. See, if somebody knows everything about strength training or cardiovascular training or even the proper way to eat, they know that. They have the knowledge of that. Does that head knowledge actually do them any good? No, they have to apply that. They have to take what they know and actually put it. They have to put effort into it. I want to say this, though, too. On a side note, I also appreciate that Paul does not dismiss the value in physical health here. He doesn't say that. He says it's just not as valuable. He seeks to put things in a proper perspective. The healthier we are in a physical sense, the greater we can serve the kingdom now. All the while remembering, though, the healthier we are in a godly sense keeps us on the real right track and holds us to the proper mindset. So we have to look at ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, are we solid or are we squishy? We must take a long look here at our faith and make sure we are solid where it really counts. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. You've probably heard these, you've probably read these a number of times. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See, by all outward appearances, these scribes and these Pharisees, they were solid. They were fooling the people, weren't they? They were clean on the outside. They walked around with their chins held high and with a pious look upon their face. They knew how holy and righteous everybody thought that they were. And their smugness came by way of their religious arrogance. Strong appearance on the outside, but quite squishy on the inside. That's not a good place to be. And Jesus saw right through it. Called them whitewashed tombs. Outside, they conveyed their life and their faith to be pretty and neat and even appearing beautiful. But a tomb is still a tomb, no matter the initial impression. So Jesus denounces their appearance, and though they may have appeared righteous, He publicly exposes their hypocrisy and their lawlessness. They didn't like that too much, did they? See, we must understand that outward appearances will always falter and fail. Your outward appearance will always falter and fail. Good or bad? Good or bad? It's what's on the inside that is the true testament of who that person is, good or bad, soft, squishy, strong, or solid. As humans, we tend to evaluate and then to make a judgment based upon outward appearances, don't we? Seriously, we do. We look at somebody, we size them up before we ever speak to them. We watch people walk into church and their body language, oh, they're dragging today, ooh, they're mad today, ooh, they're ready to worship today. We base all that on outward appearances, but seriously, how many times have we been completely wrong here? Not always, but sometimes we're wrong. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, it says this. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." See, we get to this point because Israel's been in the promised land, right? Everything's going good. The Israelites, they didn't necessarily do everything God wanted them to do in regards to the people around. They let some live. They made treaties with others. And they're looking at all these other tribes and people groups around them, and they're saying, "Man, all these people have kings. I think we need a king." And God's sitting there going, "I'm kind of in charge here, and yet you're saying you want a king." And the people kept wanting a king, and they kept wanting a king, so God's like, "Give them a king. Just give them a king," knowing that there's going to be trouble here. And the people of Israel wanted a king so bad, they didn't even know what to base that requirement on. So they chose Saul. They chose this guy named Saul. And Saul, man, Saul, he was dreamy. I mean, Saul was handsome. He was tall. He was tall, dark, and handsome. He had all the characteristics. When people looked at Saul, they said, "Oh, look at him. Oh." All the ladies were like, "Whew." And all the guys were like, "Man, I want to be friends with Saul. He's that guy." See, by man's standard, Saul looked like they thought a king should look. But though he was solid on the outside, it wasn't long before he showed how squishy he was on the inside. But God had a plan all along, and he sent Samuel to anoint the one who would eventually become Israel's true king. So drop down to verse 6 and 7. When they came, remember, they're coming to Jesse's house, his ranch, his farm, his parcel. When they came, he looked on Eliab, and that's Jesse's oldest son, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So God is saying, "Hey, everything that you used, all those standards that you used to choose Saul as your king, we're throwing that out the window, because I look at things that are very different." So Jesse presents his oldest son, and it's like, man, he's the oldest, right? He's the firstborn. He's probably the one. And what does God do? He rejects him. Because God had a plan, and God had a person, and God had a purpose for that person. And God was determined to find that person based on the inward attributes. Basing his decision upon how solid that person's character and how solid that was in that person's desire to serve God. And I really don't think things have changed here to you. I think God's doing the same thing. God isn't impressed with our outward appearance. God isn't impressed on how expensive our clothes are. God isn't impressed on what car you pull up and park in the church parking lot. God isn't impressed by the size of your house. God is not going to place you in a position of importance or a position of ministry or anything, opportunity, based on those outside things. God is always going to look on the inside. So I really don't think things have changed much from what we're talking about today, fast forward to right now. Let's keep going. Let's look at verse 8 through 10. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shemaiah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Now both Jesse and Samuel had to be a little bit confused here. They had to be a little bit dismayed here, Because Jesse just presented all the sons that he had called in from the field, presented them before Samuel, and the Lord, looking into each one of them, rejects each and every one of them. Surely they appeared strong and even able on the outside, but something was a little bit squishy and it excluded them on the inside. What to do? What to do? Samuel knows God said, go talk to him. So Samuel filled his horn full of the anointing oil so he could anoint the next king, the true king of Israel. And now Samuel's sitting there and his horn is still full of oil. And he's saying, not this one, not this one. Uh-oh, we're getting to the end of the line. Not this. Oh, there's three left. Not this one. Oh, it must be down to these two. Not this one. Oh, we have a win. No, not this one either. What are we going to do? Well, let's look at verse 11 and 12. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. See, in Jesse's thought process, it couldn't have been David. David is just the youngest, the smallest, right? Because he's the youngest. He's the least of all my sons. So because he's the least, I'm pretty sure that's not going to be him. Somebody still needs to watch the sheep. I'm going to leave David out there to watch the sheep because I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of these other guys. So Jesse didn't even call him in. He didn't even call him in. He didn't even tell Samuel, hey, I got one more son. Before you start, just so you know, I have one more son. We can switch. If it's not the first guy, maybe we'll just switch and get him in here. No, Jesse's like, it probably can't be David, so we won't even talk about him. We won't even call him. We're just going to leave him out there to send the sheep. How do you think that must have made David feel? Hey guys, sons, all of you, come here, come here. Okay, so you guys know Samuel, right? Crazy story. God told him to come here, and one of you guys are going to be anointed the true king of Israel. So I want all of you here when he gets here so he can figure out which one. Oh, by the way, David, don't worry. I need you out at the sheep because it can't be you. I want you out at the sheep. I'm not even going to tell Samuel that I got you out there. He doesn't need to know, but I'm going to keep you guys here because it's got to be one of you guys. When David heard that, how does that make David feel, honestly? Funny story. You guys want to hear a funny story? When I sent my resume here to this church, when they were looking for a new pastor, I was like, ooh, God's telling me to send out two resumes. I'm going to send out two resumes. Only two resumes. One of them's going here and one of them's going here. And I sent those resumes out. For whatever reason, I received no reply to that resume. They didn't give me any indication that I had even sent that resume and they had received it. Did I use the wrong address? Did it go to the wrong place? Did it get lost in the mail? I don't know. I received nothing in return. No letter. No email. How hard's an email? Come on. No phone call. Not even an impersonal text. I got nothing. I thought, wow, I don't even warrant a response. That's what I thought. So in some ways, I can relate to David here, right? And really, after all, like David, I'm young, I'm ruddy, I have beautiful eyes, I'm handsome. So David and I, man, we got something going along here, man. I felt like, man, I'm out here tending sheep, and nobody's even telling me lunch is ready, right? You ever feel that way? But even though David wasn't initially called, David was God's plan. And it has everything to do with David being solid where it counts. See, messages like today seek to both confirm as well as convict. Many times we try to cover our squishiness with appearances, with our lingo. Hey, I can talk a good Christian talk. Oh, blessed and favored by God. That's how I am today. I'll pray for you. We use the lingo that tries to disguise certain things. How about our words, our works, our all of those different things? But that appearance can never be a substitute for a genuine desire to pursue Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now I'll ask you this. How do we remember David? We'll remember David as a man after God's own heart. Did David have his struggles? Yeah. Did David take his missteps? Yeah. Did David mess things up? Yeah, he did. But David is remembered as a man after God's own heart. And God is still seeking those who are after his own heart. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your prior life looked like. It doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is how solid you are on the inside. Are you a person after God's own heart? So put your effort into the things that will make solid the things that truly matter. How do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I am so glad you asked. First off, we need to commit. We need commit yourself to the Word. We say that over and over here, right? It's like I struggled a little bit with this message. I'm like, God, why are you asking me to go through this again? It's like every few weeks, you're prompting me to encourage people to get in the Word, right? To commit themselves to the Word. I'm like, okay, God, I'm just trusting you. Soon enough, we'll get it. But until that, prepare yourself. You're going to hear this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So first off, number one, we got to commit ourselves to the Word. In content, right? In understanding, but also in application. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Make His Word an everyday application. You gotta hear it. You gotta hear it. If that means read it out loud, read it out loud. If that means throwing, man, these new Bible apps on the phone, they got everything. They've got a little speaker right there. It's like, maybe I'm driving. And you probably shouldn't be reading your Bible while you're driving. Now, I want that to get out that we preach that here, because we don't. We want to be safe. But while you're driving, you can turn that app on and hit that little speaker. And the phone starts reading you the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God every day is vitally important from taking you from squishy to solid. It's like that. It's like the nutrition plan, right? The Word is the bread of life. We got to be feeding ourselves the right thing to become spiritually fit. I bet you can all guess what number two is. Number two, commit to prayer. Commit yourselves to prayer. I'm not talking about the sometimes prayers. I'm talking about the all the time prayers, right? We can't think that, hey, yeah, you know, a Sunday morning during worship, I said a quick prayer, I'm good. Good for the week. Good to go. No, we need to be praying throughout the day, right? Throughout the day. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfast in prayer. Continuing, as in keep it going. Be steadfast about it, as in a routine, keeping it in front of you. Being watchful with thanksgiving, right? Our prayers should never be the Santa Claus prayers. We just get before God. No relationship, no adoration, no thanksgiving, no anything. We just give God the list of things that we need and that we want. I want this, God. I want this. Give it to me, God. I want it. Amen. That's not the kind of prayers we're talking about here. We're talking about the conversational prayers.
a prayer of just saying, God, wow, hallowed be your name. You are amazing. You are above all things. God, I need you in my life. I can't exist without you. Lord God, I'm thankful for everything that you've done for me, everything that you're doing for me, everything that you're going to do for me. Now, Lord God, forgive me of those things that I've taken missteps with. Lord God, forgive me in those things, those ways, those terrible things I've slipped into, the temptations that I've entertained. Lord God, forgive me of those, but Lord God, also give me the strength and the faith to forgive others, those that have come against me. And Lord God, here is some of the things that I would like to petition you for, to ask you for, Lord, healing for this person, provision for this person, things in my life that I need. You know, we have that complete prayer. Prayer, right? God, equip me for this opportunity that you're laying before me right here. Lord God, I am so thankful that you trust me enough to put this opportunity before me now. Lord God, equip me with the Holy Spirit to say the things that I need to say. Those are continual. Those are steadfast prayers. We're being watchful, right? We go to our prayer closet sometimes, but we don't live in our prayer closet. We walk around this town listening to the Holy Spirit. Being watchful, praying, again, thanking God that he's placed you in such a place at such a time as this. See, keeping an open line with God is so vitally important. Nobody in here should be going, oh my gosh, Pastor gave us this revelation today that we're supposed to read the Bible and we're supposed to pray. It was the best message he's ever given. I have never been to a church before where they actually said, read the Bible and pray. You guys should be going, oh my gosh. Pastor's telling us to read the Bible and pray again. Didn't he tell us this last week? I'm pretty sure he told us last week and the week before and for 6.5 years. It keeps coming up. And it keeps coming up because that word commit needs to be in there. We need to commit. And we can sit in here and be, amen, man, we need to be in the Word and we need to pray. But again, head knowledge doesn't always transfer into that application of doing it into our lives. If you read the Word daily and you pray daily, God bless you. Keep doing it. Expand that. If you are not in your Word daily and praying daily, there is something incredibly wrong. And that's what's leading to the squishiness that's going on in there. But it doesn't stop there. We don't stop with one and two. Let's go on to number three. Commit yourselves to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pentecostal all the way here. Commit yourself to the Holy Spirit. What? That freaks some of you guys out, depending on how you were raised, right? It's Father, Son, and Holy Bible. No, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We commit ourselves to the Holy Spirit because you know why? Because the Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever steer you wrong. He is the ultimate personal trainer, right? Talk about that, man. If we're squishy, we need to get solid. Get a personal trainer. Well, the greatest personal trainer, the all-time best personal trainer is the Holy Spirit. And it is in Him and through Him that you become solid. But we got to open ourselves up. We got to crave the Holy Spirit. We got to desire the Holy Spirit. We got to seek the Holy Spirit. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then all of those things we got to bring in and we got to apply those things, those teachings, those guidance, those prayers, all that. We got to apply that into our lives so that we can actually become solid instead of staying squishy. Look at John 16:13-14. When the Spirit of truth comes, and He has come, right? Day of Pentecost, He was poured out to us. The Holy Spirit was poured out. We have the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. You know, a lot of times we talk about, hey, I just felt Jesus beside me, and Jesus be my co-pilot and things like that. Well, Jesus is actually up in heaven with the Father, right? But what Jesus did was Jesus sent his Spirit to us. So sometimes I feel this way. I feel like the Holy Spirit gets the short end of the stick in far too many people's lives there. Yes, we seek the Father. Yes, we seek the Son. And with equal measure, yes, we seek the Holy Spirit. We got to have his guidance. We got to hear his voice. And to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, we got to want to do that. We got to seek it. We got to shut up sometimes so we can actually hear it, right? We got to do all of these things. But it's so vitally important that we commit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Have you committed yourself to the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself that question. Number four on our list. Number four is commit yourself to being alert. What? Some of you guys just woke up here. No, I'm listening. Commit yourself to be alert. Alert would mean that your eyes are open. Being aware of what is going on around you. Watching the signs of the times, right? It's so easy to be, I've preached about it, being that bubble-wrapped Christian or the Christian, the ostrich Christian, right? And sticks their head in the sand. And they're just like, I just want to glorify God. I just want to be in his presence. And man, they know nothing that's going on around them. We need to know what our state, what the capital city, what is the government talking about here? What are they considering? We got to be aware of these things, right? We got to be aware, is there a satanic presence in our community? Yes, there is. We got to be aware, are there false religions being preached in our community? Yes, there is. Is there a drug epidemic in our community? Yes, there is. Is there theft going on? Yes, there's a lot of stuff going on. Is there a suicide problem? Nobody wants to talk about that. Yes, there is. Is there a sexuality problem in our community? Yes, I thought that was just on the East Coast and the West Coast. No, it's here. It's here. We got to be alert. We got to know what's going on. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This is geared toward not the world. This is geared toward Christians. See, that roaring lion is our enemy, and that roaring lion is seeking to devour Christians. He wants to mess you, Christians. He doesn't care about unbelievers. Satan could care less about atheists. An unbeliever. They're already under his deception. What more does he need to do to them? He doesn't have to worry about them. He seeks to destroy us. He seeks to sneak up on, lions are, well, all cats, right? All cats are they lay in wait. They're ambush predators, right? It's not like the lion walks out in front of you and says, all right, tomorrow at noon, we're going to have a throwdown. No, that lion, that tiger, that mountain lion, that house cat, they hide. And when you're not watchful, when you're not aware, that's when they jump out and they get you. So your adversary, the devil, he prowls around secretly, quietly. He prowls around like that hungry, roaring, hateful lion. And he's seeking Christians to dissuade, to deceive, to devour. See, this is happening to far too many Christians today. If your insides, if your faith is squishy, you make a good target. I mean, like a nice tenderloin beef tin. Oh, that marbling. When you go to eat a steak, you want it squishy, don't you? So does the devil. He wants to look for those Christians that are squishy because they're tender and they're slow. They don't move fast because a solid Christian, ooh, he's too stringy. He's too hard. They're always aware. They're ready to tame me when I jump out. We got to be solid where solid counts because squishy just gets us in trouble. All right, on to number five. Commit yourself to fellowship. Commit yourself to fellowship. See, don't buy into the lie that you can do it on your own. Your faith is your faith. You can do it on your own. Just as long as you got Jesus, you got everything, right? Problem is Jesus' plan involves his church. It's his plan. So don't think that you can do it on your own, and that lie that church isn't really that important. It's not really that necessary, right? Far too many Christians have bought into that. That's like, you know, if somebody, if it's a professional athlete, or if somebody who had a quadruple bypass surgery. And as a trainer, I just say, hey, I'm gonna give you some stuff to read. But it's not that important to actually come to the gym and meet with me. Just not that important. That would be insane, right? It'd be like, well, wait a second. If I'm just reading it, how is that actually going to benefit me physically? Don't I actually have to come to the gym? And for us, it's like, well, of course you have to go to the gym. You have to. You have to exercise in order to get fit. But many Christians throw that out the window when it comes to their faith. I don't actually have to go to the church to build my faith. But Jesus says, the church is so vitally important. See, all of those things, those are a lie from the enemy itself. Look at Hebrews 10:25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Don't neglect to meet together. Don't neglect to come together to be edified by the body of believers, to come together to worship together. If you walk in here on a Sunday morning and you truly engage in worship with everybody else, something great happens. Something special happens. You're prepared to hear the message. You're prepared to hear the word. But on the flip side of that, by you entering in, you're helping others get prepared, right? And then throughout the week, it's like, hey, we got Wednesday night stuff. Hey, I'm going to have lunch or coffee with this person. It's edification. We cannot neglect to meet together. The lone wolf Christian, that solitary Christian, they're not going to last long. You got to come together. We got to have fellowship to become solid. So get yourself plugged into the body. Commit. Right? Commit to a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. That includes the body. And stop playing around with this casual relationship with God. I'll go on Easter. Easter's coming up. I went Christmas. That's enough, right? I go maybe once every 2 months to church. That's enough, right? No, it's not enough. Not if you want to get solid. Don't stay squishy. Plug in. Get yourself plugged into the body. The fellowship, it's God's plan. Number 6, commit yourself to being a Christian. Come on, just go do it. Just stop playing around. Stop playing around. Commit yourself to being a Christian. This one is getting harder day by day. Simply because we no longer live in a Christian nation. You try to convince me otherwise, we'll have a talk on that. But we no longer live in a Christian nation. So committing to be a Christian becomes harder and harder. Because that means as a Christian, you are contrary to where you now live. It means that you are counterculture. How many of you guys were hippies back in the day? Guys, and then, not anymore, though. I mean, even if you wanted to be a hippie, you couldn't do it. You just don't have the... But the hippies, they were counterculture, right? They were going against culture. They didn't believe that they fit. They didn't want to fit into that. And then really, that's every generation has that, you know, for me. And the 90s, it was the grunge movement, right? Man, I love flannel shirts. They're great. And the grunge music was very, they were hurting. No, if you listen, they were hurting. They were wrapped up in drugs, trying to escape the reality, and a lot of it sprung out, if you look, a lot of it sprung out of abuse that they experienced as a child, right? Growing up without a father, that came out in their lyrics, that came out in their music. They didn't want to be in a society that was okay with that. It was normal in that society, so you have the grunge movement that comes out of that. So all of those are countercultural movements that we've seen in the past, right? That was under a Christian nation. But now when the nation is no longer a Christian nation, it's the Christians themselves that become counter-culture. So we got a whole counterculture movement going on today. Look at Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Yeah. What? Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act regardless of the culture or the environment that you're living in. See, to become a Christian, it means that you are committing to the way of the Lord. That's what a Christian is. Christian is a little Christ, right? It was supposed to be a derogatory term, but it becomes a term that humbles me. How can I be a little Christ within my life? God, I want to do everything I can within your righteousness and your forgiveness. And if that means that you see me as a little Christ, then I will identify that way and I will speak that way. See, Christianity is an identity. We have to allow it to become our identity. It is identifying with Christ Himself. This is a big one here, guys. It's big because Jesus specifically warned us on this one in Matthew 10:32-33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. That's a warning verse. Right? That's a verse that God loves us so much that through inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the words of Jesus Himself gave us this warning. You can't just be the casual Christian that when I'm in a certain people, man, oh, we went to a Christian concert. It was awesome. I was Christian that night. But then later you go to the bar and you're no longer Christian. You can't do that. You can't do that. You got to commit in your identity to be a Christian. See, committing yourself to being a Christian means that you may lose friends. It may even mean that you lose family. It's just the way it is. In your workplace, it may mean that your workplace may become hostile towards you. There's probably people in here who are in a hostile workplace toward Christians. Makes it hard to be a Christian there, right? Well, wouldn't it be easier if you just relaxed your faith? Wouldn't it be easier if you just allowed your faith to be squishy those 8 hours that you were at work? But because of the love of God, He gives us this warning as to what happens if we deny Him before men. And we need to take heart in that. See, when we commit to be a Christian, means you're going to probably be hated. You're going to probably be ridiculed, right? You don't believe me on that? Show up at the Capitol tomorrow at 8 a.m. Put your Christian t-shirt on. Be a Christian. You're going to be hated. People are going to be hostile towards you. See, you're going to be called names. You're going to be labeled. Should that dissuade you from your Christian identity? The answer to that lies in if you're solid or if you're squishy. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. We go through this list. Look at the Pharisees and the scribes. We look at the story of David. What a great story that is. We see how even his father didn't think he would be the one to be anointed, yet he was. We take all of that in, and I think from an outside perspective, we can all agree this morning that there's no place for someone with a squishy faith, is there? That's not what God's calling us to. We can from that outside appearance, that outside perspective, say, yeah, Pastor, you're absolutely right. Squishy's bad. I don't want to be squishy. I want to be solid. I got to be solid. But are you putting that application into your life? Or is it just easier to stay squishy? Because it's not easy to go from squishy to solid. It takes effort, right? It takes time. It takes work. It takes all sorts of things. It takes commitment. It takes giving up certain things in your life so that you can pursue the things that will take you from squishy to solid. I would say this, I would say it's time to get fit. I would say God's calling us right now, in this instant. He's been calling us for the last several years even. I think COVID was a big revealer between solid and squishy. I think COVID helped a lot of people understand and gravitate to either being solid or squishy. You guys know what I mean on that. But I think God's also saying, the time is now. The time is now to get fit. The time is now to get in shape. The time is now to get strong. The time is now to have a faith that is solid enough to stand against the persecution that is here and now. You guys need to be solid in the Lord. You guys need to be solid in your faith. We're gonna sing that song. We're gonna sing a powerful song. And during this song, we're actually gonna sing two songs. One super powerful and then one just, we're gonna leave here today pumped up and ready to go. But like always, of course I'm gonna open up the altar. Of course I'm gonna encourage you to come to the altar. Why? Why does Pastor keep calling us and encouraging us to come to the altar? Because it gets you out of your comfort zone. There's a humility. There's a boldness that's involved with coming to the altar. Wonderful things happen at the altar. Squishiness leaves at the altar. And in its place, a solidness comes. Once again, I will tell you, do you have to be at the altar to experience God's touch? No. But sometimes God's not going to touch you until you make the effort to walk to the altar. So we're going to open up the altars. We're going to sing. I'm going to invite you to come, to get down before God, to repent before God, to ask God to make you solid, to pray with somebody, to give somebody a word. Man, we want a place here in this church that is fully committed to God and fully committed to the response time at the end of service. Amen? So I'm going to pray. We're going to go right into this song. This altar is open. You can stay as long or as short as you want. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in any way, confirm that by making that walk to the altar. Father, Lord, thank you for this message, Lord God. Thank you for a reminder that Lord God, serving you is serious. It's serious. And serving you takes commitment. And Lord God, this world, it tries to destroy my faith. It tries to ambush my faith. It tries to make my faith. It tells me that my faith can be something that's very contrary to what your word tells me. Lord God, help me to stand against that. Help me to stand strong in the sight of persecution and hatred and in conflict, Lord God. Help me to understand that losing family, losing friends, it can be a casualty of my faith. But the one thing that I want to never lose, to never walk away from, to never disregard or disgrace, Lord God, that's the relationship that I have with you today. And Lord God, help me to strengthen that relationship with you today. So Lord, as you see fit, as you prompt people to come to the altar, Holy Spirit, I know with confidence you will give them what they need. You will speak to them how they need to be spoken to. You will challenge them how they need to be challenged. You will convict them in what they need to be convicted with. You will confirm what needs to be confirmed, and you will change what needs to be changed. We have full confidence in you. Help us to have a full commitment with you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shout it out. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.